So we're going to finish off Zechariah's song now, and it's in Luke chapter 1 and verses 76 to 79. So Zechariah continues to sing over his child John. He says, he sings, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Well, I don't quite know how Zechariah sang that song, but I'm sure we can all resonate with these words. We need salvation. We need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need peace. So let me pray, and then Josh is going to come and speak a bit more about these words. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we thank you that Christmas time you sent your angels, your messengers, your prophets, but most of all, you sent your Son so that we could know what it is to have salvation, forgiveness, and peace. And we pray very much now that as Josh comes to speak, you'd give him strength and wisdom and insight, and you'd help us to listen as he does so, so that we will not hear Josh so much as we will hear you speaking to us here this morning in Northstow. And we pray that you would bless us with your message, for we pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Mark. So we have this song by Zechariah. Zechariah was an old priest by the time he sings this. He and his wife hadn't been able to have children until when he was serving in the temple. The angel Gabriel had shown up and said, "God is going to give you a baby boy. And not just an answer to your prayer for your family, but an answer to your prayer for Israel. Your baby boy will grow up to be the promised messenger, preparing the way for God himself to come and rescue us." And so when Zechariah's baby boy grows up, he's John the Baptist, the messenger in the wilderness, preparing the way for Jesus to start his ministry. But why does Zechariah speak of God coming to rescue people? In this song, he's spending a lot of time talking about redemption, rescue, and salvation. These are ideas of need before they're ideas of good news. So when our car breaks down on the motorway, we call somebody to rescue us, the RAC or the AA or whoever it is. The point where you need a superhero in a film is the point when a supervillain or an alien is threatening the planet. That's when we need a rescuer. And Zechariah thinks there's an amazing rescuer coming. What is the problem that he sees? Well, he sees that we need a rescuer because we have really big problems. He doesn't think small. He doesn't focus on his age or his health. He doesn't even focus on the sadness for him of a long childless life. He doesn't focus on Israel being conquered by the Romans and the injustices of colonial rule. Instead, Zechariah goes for the really big, universal human problems. The ones that every single one of us in this room face. And he starts with ignorance. So, verse 77, he says that the combination of his son and the one to come will be able to give people knowledge of salvation, knowledge of what will save us. You see, we're ignorant as human beings because we live in a world we didn't make, and we're trying to figure out, how do you live well in this world? We're trying to figure out, what is our destiny? You see, science can tell us amazing things about the universe, and technology gives us ever greater power over nature. But science can't tell you whether you really matter or not. Science can't tell us whether love is a precious, sort of fundamental thing in the universe, or whether it's just a biochemical reaction to pass on genes. Science can't tell us whether there is hope for life after death. Science can't tell us whether there's a God who gives everything meaning and hope. But Zechariah declares that the coming Lord will give his people the knowledge of salvation. So the problem we face as human beings is that we cannot figure out the universe and eternity and our own significance by ourselves. We can't figure out how to live rightly by ourselves. We can't be sure of eternal life by ourselves. By ourselves, we're ignorant. That's the first problem. Secondly, Zechariah says there's a problem of sin and the guilt and judgment of sin. Salvation is going to be through the forgiveness of sins. And you might think, why is that the big problem? Sin at Christmas time, if you're watching the adverts and the films, sin at Christmas time is basically eating and drinking too much and being too luxurious, spending a bit too much money. That's kind of sin at Christmas. But sin in the Bible is a much more serious problem. It's the heart of all the other problems. Sin in the Bible is the way we humans have twisted ourselves away, turned away from our Creator. And in the process, we find our very core of our being is sort of twisted out of shape. And our relationships with each other and with the natural world are out of moral alignment. Things don't work as they should. And we end up trapped in foolish behaviors, hurting those we love and damaging the planet we should care for. That is sin. It's the problem from which all the other problems flow. We're to blame for that sin. Now, human beings are the ones who've made the choice to turn from God, and so we're the ones in trouble. We're the ones who are guilty before God. And until that sin is dealt with, until there's forgiveness for sins, until someone else comes to help us sort of be straightened out, untwisted to reconnect us to God, we're lost without hope. We're in the wrong, so we feel guilty and ashamed. We know that a God who is perfect, if he's really being just, won't be able to declare us right or welcome us in. And so that leads to our third big problem. After our ignorance and after our sin, there's the problem of death. For many families, although Christmas is a joyful time and we gather together with family and friends around the table, it's also a time when we're aware of empty seats and missing guests. Whether because of broken relationships or because of death, people who should be there aren't there. And death is a sign of God's judgment on sinful humanity. He withdraws his gift of life. Death is like the dark shadow over all of human existence, a horrible reality that can sap the joy even from a Christmas party. Death extinguishes hope and trivializes accomplishments. And Zechariah says, we live in darkness, in the shadow of death. Now, you may be wondering at this point, have you got the right talk for the Christmas family service? Why all the doom and gloom? But Zechariah's exuberant joy is because the first Christmas is part of God's rescue plan from all the things that really ruin life. It's not just a rescue from boredom or running out of our favorite Christmas quality street. It's a rescue from much bigger problems. The problems that all of us face as human beings. It's such good news because the problems we face as humans are big and terrible. It's such good news because after hundreds of years of God's people waiting, God is about to arrive and rescue all who will trust in him. So look now at the rescue that Zechariah sees coming. The rescue that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring. So he points out that that his son is going to go before the Lord, that is God. John the Baptist is preparing the way for God himself to come. So Jesus, as we've heard the angel declare, he's a baby, a true human, but he's also God the Son come to rescue us. And Zechariah says, with the coming of this Lord God, this Savior, we're going to get knowledge of salvation. Zechariah knows we can't figure out God for ourselves, not even in a city like Cambridge, where the scientists are working with multi-million pound equipment to search out the mysteries of cells and of galaxies. We need God to come and make himself known. We need God to tell us how to get out of our mess. And so he declares, the child to come gives knowledge, gives his people the knowledge of salvation. That's kind of how it works, isn't it? We need God to come and reconnect us with God. And then we can live rightly when we've been put right with God. You don't need to have a PhD to find out about God and salvation. You need to read about Jesus in the Bible. We have knowledge of salvation freely available to all of us. And when you read about Jesus in the Bible, you find Zechariah is absolutely right to say the heart of the rescue is forgiveness for sins. He says, verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God. When people do something wrong, often what we want is for them to pay for the harm that they've done and show that they've changed for the better before we forgive them, before we restore the relationship. And that's kind of actually right. There's a justice element that's in us that says when you've done something wrong, you need to put it right. But God's rescue plan works the other way around. He, the one we've rejected and offended, pays the price for the harm that we caused. He, the perfect one who never got out of alignment, comes down and he straightens out twisted humanity to reconnect humans to God. That's one way of thinking about the cross. It is God taking humanity that's been twisted out of shape and saying, I'm going to reconnect you to me. It's a painful process, but I'm going to do all the work. God forgives us our sins, paying the price for our wrongdoing. God reforges humanity to be realigned with our Creator. All through Jesus on the cross. And all of that is a gift. That's why it's by God's mercy. He doesn't say, when you've passed some exams or when you've been working for me long enough, then I'll sort you out. He says, I'm going to do it all through Jesus, the tender mercy of God. I'll pay for all of this forgiveness so that you can receive the reconnection with God, the realignment with God that will fix everything else. It's all a gift. It's all God's mercy, free of charge. And that makes Jesus the ultimate Christmas present, the gift that God offers each person here. And when we trust in Jesus, welcoming his gift of forgiveness, we also get new life, eternal life. This eternal life is by our reconnecting with the God who is eternal. And we get a loving relationship with the one who is infinite and full. And so his eternal life begins to pour into our souls now, and will one day restore our bodies for eternal life with God in the new creation. Zechariah describes this new life as like light coming from the God who is the sun. About this time of year is the only time of year where I see sunrises, because it's happened sufficiently late in the day that I might have a chance of seeing it. But there is that moment of, well, we're in the dark, and then the light shines, and suddenly we see everything. And that's what Zechariah says Jesus coming is like. When you welcome him into your life, it's like the sun rising on a dark winter's day. He says, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. One of the things about these dark nights is that we get to benefit from people putting up Christmas lights. I don't know what your street is like, but our street, quite a lot of people have put a lot of effort in this year to the beautiful Christmas lights that shine out beautifully. And in the same way, it is the darkness of our world with war, sickness, loneliness, addictions, hopelessness, injustice. In all that darkness, the light of God's love and light shines out all the brighter. And Zechariah rejoices to know that God is about to arrive on the scene as one of us, as part of the family of David, to rescue us. We see more because we see the end of the story. We see not just the birth of Jesus, but we also actually already know that he's going to go on to a life of ministry and then dying on the cross and then rising to life again. He is going to die for our sins to be forgiven. That's the love of God for us. He's going to rise on the third day, so we know that the life he gives is really death-conquering life. The Son of Life shining on all who trust him. And so the question for everyone here today is, do we see the problem with humanity as Zechariah describes it? Do we agree with his diagnosis of the problem? And then secondly, do we receive and welcome Jesus as the good news of Christmas, the rescuing God? And it might be you're thinking, this is all really new and I just haven't had a chance to think about this yet. I want to think about it more. Let me suggest a couple of things you could do if you wanted to think a bit more about Jesus. We've got Gospels of Luke. We've been looking at Luke's Gospel this morning. If you wanted to read about Jesus' life and think about it, please take one away. We'd love them to be taken away. Please take one of those. And next term, we're going to be running a Hope Explored course, 3 Friday evenings, looking at Jesus and the hope that he brings in this world. There should be some cards like this as you go out, but please think about it. And if you'd like to do it, please sign up, send an email to sign up. We'd love to help people explore Jesus and ask all your questions. It's right to investigate. This news is so amazing. You might want to say, well, is it true? What's the evidence? That would be absolutely fine. We'd love to help you do that. But for now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray if you're already trusting Jesus. It'd also be a prayer you could join in if you wanted to start following Jesus. But let's pray now. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus into the world so that we could know you and know how to be put right with you. Thank you that Jesus is the one who enables us to be forgiven, dying in our place on the cross. We confess that we are in the wrong, and we thank you and praise you for your love shown in Jesus, forgiving our sins. And as we look to the future, we thank you for the hope of eternal life found in Jesus, who has risen from the dead. Help our hearts not to fear in the face of darkness and death, but to cling to the hope of Jesus until we go to be with him or he returns. Amen.